Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Heritage Foods Q3 9-month FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and you will get an opportunity to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Diya Kasva from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Diya.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I am Diya Kasva, and it's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Heritage Foods Limited. Thank you for joining us today for Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings call. This call is being hosted by Go India Advisors. Please note that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements. Therefore, they must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. Today, on the call, we are joined by Mrs. Bramini Narah, Executive Director, Dr. M. Sambasive Rao, Whole Time Director, Mr. Srideep Kesavan, CEO, Mr. A. Prabhakaran Naidu, CFO, Mr. J. Sambamoorthy, COO, Dr. Brij Mohan, CEO, Heritage Nutivet Limited, and Mr. Umakanta Parekh, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. I now invite Dr. Rao to present the company's business outlook and performance, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Diya. Good morning to everyone on the call. At the outset, on behalf of the management team at Heritage Foods, I would like to extend our New Year wishes to all our shareholders, farmers, employees, customers, consumers, and all stakeholders. We wish everyone a healthy, prosperous, and successful year ahead. Now, turning to quarter three of FY26, the quarter is marked by an unusually industry supply environment, even during what is typically a seasonally strong flush quarter. Milk shortages, elevated procurement costs, and butter supply tightness continued to weigh on operating performance, leading to margin pressure despite steady demand conditions. Procurement and raw material costs rose sharply during the quarter, driven in part by industry-wide butter tightness. Attractive global dairy trade prices led to significant butter exports from India, resulting in domestic butter shortages and firm pricing. For the first time in the last 2 years, constrained raw material availability, even during flush quarter, necessitated bulk butter purchases at elevated market prices in November, impacting overall profitability. At the same time, milk procurement volumes were impacted by supply-side constraints. For the first time in several years, YTD milk procurement volumes declined marginally by 0.82% to 16.86 lakh liters per day for 9 months of FY26, following 3 consecutive years of 9%-10% year-on-year growth. Q3 procurement averaged 16.73 lakh liters per day, down 9% year-on-year, reflecting milk shortages. However, procurement volumes showed sequential stabilization during the quarter, supported by our farmer-first philosophy. We continue to prioritize timely payments, feed support, and on-ground engagement, reinforcing long-term farmer relationships and ensuring continuity of supply during a challenging period. On the sales side, milk sales volume grew 2.1% year-on-year to 11.94 lakh liters per day, while net milk realizations improved to ₹57.31 per liter, reflecting pricing discipline and sustained brand trust. Ongoing efficiency initiatives across routing, chilling infrastructure, digital tracking continued to mitigate logistics and handling costs. Despite multiple headwinds, the company delivered resilient top-line performance, reporting consolidated revenue of 11,192 million rupees, registering 8% year-on-year growth, crossing the 11,000 rupee million quarterly revenue mark for the third consecutive quarter. This performance reflects resilient top-line execution, supported by sustained consumer demand, value-added product-led growth, and an expanding retail footprint, even as elevated input costs constrain profitability. EBITDA stood at 629 million rupees, while PAT was 346 million rupees. Margin compression during the quarter was primarily driven by a sharp escalation in milk procurement prices, which increased by 9% year-on-year, outpacing consumer price realizations despite calibrated pricing actions undertaken by the company. Following the notification of new labor codes, the company recognized a one-time increase in provision for defined benefit obligations under Ind AS 19, that is employee benefits, resulting in an incremental provision of 27.42 million rupees on a standalone basis and 27.78 million rupees on a consolidated basis during the quarter. And the same has been recognized as an employee benefit expense in the current reporting period. Value-added products remained central to our growth strategy during the quarter. Value-added product volumes grew 6.8% year-on-year, with almost all categories delivering positive growth despite adverse weather conditions. Strength was visible across curd, paneer, drinkables, ghee, and ice creams, supported by strong consumer engagement and market expansion, which improved the quality of sales mix. Including ghee and butter consumer packs, value-added product revenues grew 22.6% year-on-year, contributing 38% of total revenue compared to 33.8% in the corresponding period last year, underscoring sustained premiumization and mix improvement. From a strategic growth perspective, capacity additions remain firmly on track. The Hyderabad ice cream plant is progressing as planned, with trial production underway now and commercial commissioning expected in current quarter. The flavored milk plant is also expected to be commissioned in the current quarter, positioning the company well to capture incremental demand across fast-growing categories. I'm also pleased to share that Mrs. Brahmani Nara, Executive Director, was honored at the Business Today Most Powerful Women in Business Awards 2025. And Mrs. Nara Bhuvaneshwari, Vice Chairperson Managing Director, received the Outstanding Dairy Professional Award 2025 from the Indian Dairy Association, reflecting the strength of leadership and governance at Heritage. I'm also pleased to announce Heritage Foods Limited has been recognized among India's top 50 manufacturing companies for its practices. Looking ahead, near-term cost pressures remain. We are confident that margins will progressively normalize, supported by improving supply conditions, higher value-added products contribution, and continued disciplined execution. With that, now I open the floor for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infolin. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir, and thanks for taking my question. Firstly, sir, I mean, till last quarter, we were expecting a normal flush, but we've seen milk prices rise even on a sequential basis. I understand you mentioned that there were supply shortages, but can you just elaborate on the major reasons as to what resulted in this? And the point, the reason I'm asking is just wanted to assess if these are more like recurring things or more like a one-off.
May I take one? Good morning, Sameer. This is Sridhar here. Good morning, Sameer. This is Sridhar here. Thank you for your question. It was a bit of a surprise for all of us till the month of August. We were very hopeful, and a lot of mixed news were flowing in that the flush would be normal, and these things we would not know until it happens. But if you recall, Q2, when we announced the results, we said that it was a period of excessive rainfalls. In fact, many of the regions where we operate saw upwards of 20 to 25% of excess rainfalls, and which actually has caused a double whammy this year. And on the consumption side, many of the key weather-related value-added product categories were impacted in terms of consumption momentum. And the same excess rainfall actually caused stress at the animal level, and which is possibly what has caused productivity decline at the farm level. And this was observed not just in one procurement region, but we procure from across 9 states in the country, and we felt this across. Usually in the flush season, we receive a lot of milk this year. If I can just give some numbers, last year from Q2 to Q3, we had 1.8 lakh increase in milk, right? So just to give, Q2 last year was about 16.44 lakh liters of milk, and Q3 of last year was about 18.4 lakh liters. So 2 lakh increase from Q2 to Q3. This year, Q2 was about 16.1 lakh liter and Q3 was 16.7 lakh liter. Only 60,000 liters has increased. So that's primarily the big impact that we're talking about. Is it going to be like this? Usually, no, because, you know, usually after a season of constrained supply, usually it eases, because prices are very firm at this point in time. It is highly profitable for a dairy farmer to produce milk today. So we expect dairy farmers to increase production, and that should eventually sequentially bring down the prices. How long will it take? We are not sure. We are expecting the mini flush season or the cow flush season in the South India, which starts from May onwards. We expect that at least to normalize, because the prices in South of India is very firm at this point in time. So with that, we expect things to ease out, but we'll have to wait to see how it happens. But one thing we are observing now is the impact of climate is palpable in our industry. And you will read up on a lot of reports in this regard in the media. I hope I've been able to answer the question.
Yes, this is very, very helpful. Just to reiterate, basically excessive rainfall is the only reason, but usually what we have seen is that excessive rainfall also results in good groundwater, and the next year typically results in a better year in terms of everything, in terms of agri production, in terms of milk production, etc. Something that happened last time. See, we can't really predict as to other factors, but this sole factor alone should result in better milk productivity. Is that a fair understanding?
I would say so. But see, the dynamics are so complex with over a dozen variables. It's very difficult to predict.
We were also up to
5-6% of milk up to 5-6% of rainfall excess is good, because you get a lot of green fodder and farmer income also improves. But beyond that point, it creates stress for everyone. That's what I'm, you know, we are waiting for more scientific reports to come in, and then we'll be able to update. But what we felt was a palpable shortage of milk.
Got it. Fair, fair. And just another related question. So I remember that during the analyst meet earlier this last year, you had indicated a 7 to 9% kind of an EBITDA margin range. And this was taking into account the weather vagaries and milk price volatility. Now 9 months is 5.9% for standalone and 6.3% for consol. Would you still reiterate this margin guidance, or do you think that one should basically trim it downwards?
The only word I'd like to call out here is guidance. When we said 7 to 9% is our targeted range. I must have used the word targeted range and not guidance. We would like to keep our EBITDA towards the 7 to 9% range, which means that at this point in time, which I feel is the lowest point we would have hit, we're still about 0.9% below that level. So which means that we need to work harder on an apple-to-apple basis, improve our business performance by about 1%, so that now we can move. Currently, even this year also, you must have seen that the EBITDA has declined by nearly about 1.8%, which means that actually, if I can improve the business performance on a like-to-like basis by about a percentage point, with similar raw material situation, we should be around 7%, and a better raw material situation, we should be around 9%. That's what I meant when I said what I said. There is an impact of EBITDA on account of various other factors which we need to work on as well.
Got it. I'll come back in the queue. I have more questions, but I'll come back in the queue. Thanks for all this.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saumil Mehta from Kotak AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the question. So if you can just quantify, while the quarterly procurement prices are very high, what were the exit prices and what are the pricing trends you're seeing at least for the month of Jan, and any price hikes we have taken in liquid sales for the regions where we operate?
You are asking about exit price, right?
Yes, the pricing trends in specific month of December and the Jan pricing. Yeah.
Jan, I wouldn't be able to comment. So December, I'll be able to tell you. Just give me 1 minute. Have you got the weighted average procurement price for the month of for the quarter? Hello.
Yes. Sorry, I was not able to hear you.
Yeah, so the month ending cost of milk price in the month of December was weighted average price was 46 rupees 1 paise, 46.01. So
okay.
if it gives you a sense of how sequentially that is increased, because for the quarter, the reported number that we have, put is about 45.57. But December is 46.01, which means that you can see how it has climbed up from October, November, December. We expect the prices to further harden in the next 30 to 45 days, but should ease off, like I mentioned, once the mini flush or the cow flush in the south starts from May onwards.
Sure. And in terms of our end product prices, any price hikes you've taken or at least we envisage to take at least in the forthcoming quarters at this point in time?
Yeah, so for the quarter that went by, which is Q3, our raw milk, while the raw milk prices increased by about 8.9%, the market milk prices on a weighted average basis across our regions, we have been able to increase by about 4.9%. So we have passed on, in absolute terms, if I can just give you the number, the absolute milk prices increased by 2.67 rupees per liter, which is about 4.9%. That's as much as we could pass on, which brought down the gross margin in milk itself by about 12%. Actually, that has been the biggest impact. Actually, the impact, everything is dependent on how much milk is absorbed, you know, how much milk had to absorb of the raw material increase. Value-added products also, on a percentage basis, we have taken up prices by about 6.6%. Weighted average value-added price per liter now is about 75 rupees compared to 70 rupees 40 paise last year. Ghee also, we have taken up prices by about 15% compared to last year. So we have taken significant price increase compared to last year. But weighted average, if you look at all of this put together, the revenue has not increased enough to compensate for the raw material increase.
Sure. And my last question, what would be the carrying inventory for the bulk fat?
I'll ask CFO to answer this, please. Give me a second.
Sure.
Bulk fat is nothing.
See, okay, without looking, I can tell you that the fats we are carrying at this point in time is very, very, very nominal, maybe 300, 400 tons, which is what would be less than a month's cover, I believe. 390 tons of butter is exactly what we are carrying. So we don't have any butter.
Sure. Thank you so much and all the best for subsequent quarters.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning, your team, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First, on your ice cream plant, Samirpet. So you have said that that Samirpet plant expected to commence commercial production by March 2026. So what peak capacity utilization should we assume over the next 2 to 3 years, and how margin accretive is this facility at steady state?
This is Sridip again. We are expecting the commissioning to happen towards the end of February or beginning of March, as we had promised earlier. It's well on track. As we speak now, trial runs are happening. We are just waiting for the commercial production date. In the first year of operation, we expect a capacity utilization of about 40 to 45%. 40% is what we are expecting, and this is on as per business plan. We don't expect any surprises unless the summer goes bad and you know, ice cream business is impacted. As we speak now, ice cream is a product category which has grown strongly for us in Q3. We are on the back of, as in we are entering Q4 with a year-on-year growth of about 21% on ice cream. So that's a very strong number. We are, if you look at it, Q2, the growth was about 16-17%. So every quarter we are increasing the growth rate of ice cream, which is actually good news. We are expecting to enter the summer season with a very strong growth rate as well as volumes. In terms of how value accretive it will be, it is on an EBITDA basis, it is actually a very profitable business, ice cream, as you would know. But then there is also the asset, it's a new asset investment with its depreciation and all that will come in. So it'll take at least a year or two for the profitability to normalize.
Okay. Also, so you have said right now that your ice cream business is really doing well from the last 2 to 3 quarters. So, and you have also given the commentary in the last quarter that 20% CAGR over that you can grow paneer curd in ice cream categories are expected to grow at 20% CAGR over the next 7 years. So how is Heritage prioritizing capital and marketing spends across these categories to maximize their returns on ROC, ROIC basis?
So except for ice cream, where we, ice cream is it's the nature of the product that it is seasonal, one.
Yeah.
Number two, you can't increase the capacity on an incremental basis. Except for ice cream, Most of our value-added product categories, we are our capital investment over the years has been incremental to keep our utilization, plant utilization, very high percentage. And as we speak now, the key categories for us as far as value-added products is concerned is curd, paneer, buttermilk, ice cream that you called out, flavored milk, as well as ghee. These are the categories where we have, these are the products where we have made capital investment. And curd is something in which every year we make capital investment so that our plant utilization stays at around 90%. Paneer is something in which we have, even this quarter also, we have grown paneer by about 30%. So paneer is something which is growing very strong for us. So we have some capex in the pipeline which will get commissioned in the second or third quarter of next financial year.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. And one more last question. It's kind of, if you can understand a bit understanding regarding your, how... am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I want to be understanding regarding your southern market, if you see that organized dairy penetration is expected to rise from 40% to 60% over the next decade. So, how Heritage is realistically targeting it in its core southern markets to cater?
Overall dairy. I believe your question is regarding overall dairy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so see, we are very sharply focused on our core markets. The size of dairy industry is huge. Even in the markets where we operate, the headroom for growth is tremendous. If I can just give you an example, the penetration of curd, packaged curd, in a state like Andhra Pradesh, which is actually a very high curd consuming state, is only 25%. Okay, 75% of curd that gets consumed in Andhra Pradesh is in the unpackaged form. And in a city like Hyderabad, it is about 40% is the penetration of packaged curd. So the headroom for growth for us is tremendous. And our own core markets are delivering so much of growth. So our priority at this point in time is doubling down and going deeper. With cold chain, is one of the biggest enablers of our business. With cold chain improving, what we are seeing is that the retail outlets that are stocking dairy, especially value-added dairy, is expanding manifold. Maybe 5 years ago, the number of retail outlets that used to stock dairy were very limited because you had to buy dairy, you will have to either go to a milk booth, or you have to go to a modern trade. Today, as an average retail outlet has started stocking dairy products, and this is the biggest opportunity that we are capitalizing on. The headroom for us is tremendous, and we are working on expanding our distribution footprint as well as consumer traction for this. I hope I have answered. It's a very simple strategy. Stay focused on where we are strong and keep building strength.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for detailed answer, and I'll jump in the queue.
For the benefit of all investors, the advantage we have is that we are dealing with products and categories which don't need explanation. It's not something that you need to explain what this product is. It's something that consumers are already consuming, as in something that people are familiar for thousands of years. It's just that we are improving the product delivery in terms of quality, taste, and convenience. Which is what is switching people from, unpackaged to packaged. Apart from other aspects such as trust built on purity and transparency.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pradyum Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So a couple of questions. The first one is on you mentioned that margins should progressively improve from here on. But if I look at your commentary on the procurement price, we are expecting the procurement price to further harden from here. So why are we really, why do we feel that the margins have bottomed out? Are we expecting improvement in our selling price also? Currently, you mentioned that last quarter, the selling price had increased by 2.9 rupees. So are we expecting a further increase here in the current quarter?
Thank you, Pradyut. This is Sridhip again. Yeah, you picked on that point when I said the margins probably would have bottomed out and probably should improve. This is an estimate at this point in time, and we'll have to see how this plays out. There are two or three reasons why I mentioned what I said. One is raw material prices will increase, at least in the very short term. Okay, let's talk about 30 days or so. That's a given. We were hoping, number one, to pass on some of this to the consumer through higher pricing. That is one. Number two, we're also entering summer, which means actually already in many of the regions and markets where we operate, the temperatures have started hitting 30 degrees. We are our business. Many of our value-added products, especially the more profitable ones such as curd, buttermilk, ice cream, these are all highly seasonal. So the contribution of these products to or the salience of these products in our kitty in Q4 will be much higher than that in Q3. So it's an improvement of the weighted gross margins as well as our ability to pass on some of this pricing to the consumer. But you're right. Procurement price, at least in the near short term, will increase. This is something that we are cautious about. But our effort at this point in time is that as we grow volumes on the consumer side, we need to keep growing our procurement in line so that we don't have milk shortage. That's our highest priority. As we enter the season, we will require at least a couple of lakh liters of milk from the current levels. So our teams are focused on getting this milk at this point in time. Margins will be a result of how well we grow our value-added products.
Sorry, just to follow up here, when was the last price hike we took in milk? Just to understand how much of it is yet to be passed on. And are we planning to take any further, or have we already taken any further price hikes in the current quarter?
We operate in close to 8,500 villages, and this is across some 15 or 18 regions, as we call it, as in divided among all the nine states we operate. At some point in time, some price is always changing, right? So it's not like on one particular day we change the price. So this price movement is a continuous phenomenon. So I won't be able to give a date on when was the last time we changed.
All right. Let me just put it another way. The absolute increase in selling price we are expecting in the current quarter, would it be higher than the absolute increase in the average procurement price in the current quarter?
We would like to match it, is the way I'll put it. And the weighted average improvement would be beneficial.
Understood. And my second question is on the slow growth in value-added products, right? You mentioned that we took a 6.6% price increase in value-added products. And despite that, I think the VAP grew by around 14% for us compared to earlier, it used to grow at 18%-20%. This is the third consecutive quarter of slower VAP growth. Well, I understand the first half was due to cooler temperatures. But any particular reason to point out here? In Q3 as well, the VAP growth was quite slow, and especially if we look at the volume growth.
Yeah. So see, value-added products, we primarily curd growth was lower this quarter. Curd growth came down to about 10%. Usually, we grow curd around 13%-14%. So curd growth was lower. We also saw muted growth in drinkables, led by buttermilk and flavored milk, the growth was muted. The drinkables grew only at 16%. See, we used to grow, and either actually our North Star or rather actually our attempt and objective is to grow value-added products at 20 to 22%, right? You know, the high 20, low 20s is the targeted growth rate of value-added products. And if it has to clock that kind of number, then our core value-added products, which is curd, etc., has to grow at about 14-15%. And then the smaller value-added products, such as drinkables and ice creams and all of that, need to grow at around 30%. Only then you get a weighted average like that. So Q3, weather-wise, was soft. It's something I spoke about, primarily due to excessive rainfalls and lower temperature. On a weighted average basis, the average temperature across our region was about 1 degree lower than not just last year, but even last 10-year average. So that impacted the weather-dependent categories, with curd and the core value-added products coming to about 14-15%, and the smaller categories such as ice creams and drinkables going to about 30%, which is what we expect in Q4. And paneer holding strong at around 30% as it will continue should give us a weighted average of about 20% kind of value-added products. But the key point to note, if I may call out, is that value-added product contribution to our revenue has expanded by 1.8% in this quarter, which is, you can say, roughly around 2%, which means that it is in line with the value-added products contribution improvement over the years. We've been growing value-added product contribution roughly 2% year on year.
Understood. And last couple of questions. The first one is there are two new plants that are starting. One is on the ice cream side and one on the flavored milk side. If you can tell me for your revenue potential from these plants, once they are operating at full capacity, what sort of a revenue potential do these two plants hold? And that gives me an idea regarding what sort of a value-added products revenue potential I can expect. And second, on the continued growth of other expenses, right? Previously also we've spoken about this, and that continues to be a concern. So how are we really addressing this part, and how much of our other expenses, I think we incurred close to around 117-118 crores of other expenses in Q3. How much of this would be related to the new plants starting up?
Thank you. Just quick answers to both. See, the ice cream plant has a potential to deliver about 500 to 600 crores of revenue. That take about 6 to 7 years for us to realize that, right? Our current revenues this year, we might close it around 110 crores. So that's a 4x or a 5x kind of multiple is possible, because it's not just with volumes, also because of revenue per liter increase, right, over a period, and it might take about 7 years for us to get there. Flavored milk, on the other hand, has a potential to grow up to about 120 crores in revenue. We are targeting ourselves probably in the next 4 or 5 years, we should be crossing the 100 crore mark with the flavored milk. So these are all categories of, significant categories which are profitable, which we are investing on. As far as the other expenses are concerned, see, primarily I'll just call out two numbers while there are many, many smaller items, but the two big ones which has changed for us, one is the whole logistics cost, which as a percentage of revenue has gone up from 2.7% to 2.9%, which is a roughly 0.2% increase, which you will see in the EBITDA decline also. The 0.2% is impacted because of logistics. Primarily because of revenue not growing in line with the cost, and also our distribution expenses going up as we are pushing the distribution, right? So that's a small 0.2% impact. The other expense which has gone up is our marketing investments this year. In quarter three of this year compared to quarter three of previous year has gone up by about 0.5%. Last year, Q3 was about 1.2% of revenue. This year, Q3 is about 1.8% of revenue. While this looks like a 0.5% hit to the P&L, we consider it as a timely investment as we are getting on to high selling season. Our salience in terms of organized trade is increasing. Organized trade is already contributing about 18-19% of our sale. And we are seeing a higher uptick, higher stickiness, higher retention rate for our brands in these channels thanks to these marketing efforts. This is something that we are consciously doing, which will help us differentially take up prices as far as the consumer is concerned.
So at 10.5%, other expenses as percentage of revenue in the current quarter, can we say that most of it is sticky in nature because a large increase has come from marketing costs, which will continue going forward as well. So the other expense bit at least seems to be more sticky.
See, the way I'll put it is that marketing is the only cost which is absolute and it's not a percentage thing. And so with revenues, let's say, for example, moving up by about 100 crores or 200 crores in the coming quarters, as a percentage of revenue, this marketing expense will continue to come down, right? Because I'm not going to see, it's an absolute spend. It's let's say, for example, in a quarter, I spent 20 crores. So that will continue to come down as a percentage. And in terms of other expenses, we also count operating expenses, which is also gone up, especially the conversion cost, which we feel as the volumes increase, the absorptions in our plants will be much better, and that will also sequentially come down. Basically, the
startup-related cost on the the two plants which are starting, what would be the two plants which are starting? I'm assuming that
that'll have no impact. Is there any impact of pre-operating expenses being? No, that I'll hand over to CFO to answer that question. Pre-operating expenses.
Ice cream. It is not there actually, but it is not significant actually as far as ice cream is concerned, because in the month of February or March actually we are going to commission. So nominal actually then revenue expenditure has been taken into account to be charged to the P&L. Not very much.
Nothing significant at all. Ideally, it would get capitalized because it's a total greenfield facility.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participants in the conference call, we request you to kindly limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue again. We have the next question from the line of Prateek Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. So first on consumer fat, I mean, very healthy set of numbers, growth. So you can talk about what is going right. One, you spoke about the price hike we took, but other than that, how is our brand developing there? I mean, we are seeing quite strong ramp up there. And also the fat loss number for this quarter, if you can share.
Yeah, thank you, Prateek. Volumes have grown about 45% and overall revenue growth is about 69%, and this primarily in ghee. The bulk fat has degrown 99.9%. So practically, there's no bulk fat this quarter. Unfortunately, the milk supplies that we had, raw milk procurement was just enough for us to meet the requirement for our own thing. So there was no surplus butter generated. So to meet the growing demand for ghee, we had to actually buy butter from the market, which happened at a very high price because the butter prices in the market were quite strong, quite high compared to last year. So in terms of prices on a per liter or a per kg basis, while sales side, we saw a strong improvement. Weighted average basis, prices went up by about 106 rupees. We never seen this kind of price increase anytime. 106 rupees price increase per liter, we have seen liter kg, because I'm combining ghee and butter together. It's not the right way to look at it, because you should understand that there is a conversion factor of 81% to butter to ghee. But if I just do a simple weighted average, so 106 is the weighted average price of on the sales side, but the raw material side also went up by 103%, 103 rupees. So which means actually this you know, there's no benefit at all. So because of which, even though the business shifted from bulk to consumer, there is the losses are pretty much similar actually.
About
9 crores? The loss for 10 crores, 10.15 compared to 9 crores last year. So it's no difference. Except that, you know, we are just cycling much higher volumes now.
Correct. And so secondly, again on other expense, so it's been about 7 quarters since.
The good news is, I'll just indicate this, but
yeah,
the good news is we have been able to establish a much higher consumer price in our ghee. The revenues are much higher. Like, you know, I just indicated the amount of the revenue numbers that I spoke about at a much higher volume level. Which means that with commodities easing, we should be in a very good position. We're just hoping for that.
Correct. No point taken. So coming back on other expenses again, so it's been about 7 quarters since we have not seen those the targeted VAP numbers or a consolidated revenue number. So I understand that marketing is a good spend to have. We want to build that brand. But ex of that, are there no levers where we can kind of slow down, cut costs at time when one, we are not seeing growth, one where we are seeing increase in milk price to kind of manage our cost? Because for last many quarters, our other expense has been growing at 20% year on year, fighting maybe 10, 12 quarters now, despite no revenue growth or lower revenue growth rather. So I understand we were investing for growth, but if that growth is not coming, do we not have any levers to kind of curtail this? X of marketing, which I understand is a good spend to have.
I agree. So if I, Pratik, a couple of things I'll call out. One is operating leverage, right? Which is actually the most important thing in our business, because we are not, while we call us premium, but we are actually, mass premium players, right? Now our business is totally dependent on volumes, and if you look at the volumes of this year, the volume growth is nothing great actually. We need strong volume growth, and volume growth is what is going to completely offset our operating costs, and the operating leverage has to kick in. You know, for some reason or the other, this year has been, you know, from Q1, if you recall, maybe 2 quarters ago, in the same investor call, we mentioned that the Q1 was a washout, complete, total washout because of rains. And the rains continued into Q2. Somehow this is a very, very strange year, which the way it is going. We're actually building strength because we know that the per sales point offtake has improved. Per consumer stickiness has increased. You know, per distributor sales has improved. We know the unit metrics are looking good, but we have not been able to convert that in terms of large volume growth. We need volume growth coming back in, you know, low double digits, and revenue growth in mid-teens. Revenue growth is fine. 4 to 5% of NR increase is fine, but we need volume growth happening in 10 to 11%. That's when operating leverage kicks in. And that is the reason why, while I was answering a previous question, I mentioned that, you know, we can offset the cost by about 0.6-0.7%. The EBITDA on a like-to-like basis, today's EBITDA would be, instead of 6.2 or something on consolidated basis, will be close to 7%, which I believe is a bottom-up number. If we can do that, then we are working in a range of 7-9% going forward. So that operating leverage is what we seek, and I have nothing to do here. We need to work harder to get those volumes.
No, correct. But sir, if other expense is growing at 20%, operating leverage will only come in if the top line starts growing beyond 20, right? If you still grow volume at 10, price at 4-5 and console at 15, you'll still not see operating leverage kick in.
No, see, operating, I'm talking about, see, while the operating expenses that we report, a good percentage of it is actually fixed in nature, as in we can't do anything about it. There are variable costs which will keep increasing, but the other expenses as a percentage of revenue will come down the moment volumes kick in. That's what I meant. There are other factors as well which has gone a little bit beyond our control. Like this quarter, we had close to 1.7 crores of GST. 1.2 crores of GST impact.
GST in the sense actually, we are not able to absorb the ineligible portion of GST charged to the pinder. Because the dairy products GST mm-hmm. has come down from, in the case of actually, from 12% to 5% and paneer has become zero, those kind of things. So the input GST we are not able to recover, then the ineligible GST we are charging to the P&L. In this quarter itself, around 1.2 crores is the impact on them, on account of that.
So that I'll consider as a variable number, which is what actually has softened the gross margins of paneer a little bit. The only option for us is to increase the NR. But see, excepting for these kind of things, many of the other things, other costs in the other expenses are actually fixed in nature, which will come down with operating leverage.
Fair, we'll wait for that. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. We have the next question from the line of Rajat Parab from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Sharif sir. This is Abhishek from Systematix. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to check on this mini flush or the cow flush that you were talking about earlier. What is this? What would this be as a percentage of the main flush? How significant would this be? Because what I'm trying to understand is, you know, in case for whatever reason there is some kind of a tepidity or a failure to this also, is there a risk of milk procurement costs remaining firm till the next flush and do things slide till October? Just wanted to understand your perspective on that.
The mini flush is witnessed over a period of decades in South India, where the cows are predominant. There will be 2-3 months of milk production improvement and some amount of price softening happens. It's a standard feature. But this climate vagaries and related issues like diseases can sometimes impact. Like 1 year we had lumpy skin disease which had impacted. And occasionally there will be some problems, but it is a standard feature of the cow. There will be mini flush in the April, May, June period in South India. That we expect to be normal this year. Particularly the milk prices are very remunerative now to farmers. They would take greater care and production should come. And the buffalo flush will typically occur in October, November, December period, which did not happen in the expected or standard way this year.
Right, understood, sir. And secondly, on this the price hikes that you have just detailed in your opening remarks. I understand from one of the earlier calls of one of the listed competitors that probably some of the other private dairies and probably some cooperatives have not taken price hikes. They've chosen to not take hikes, while we have taken something like a 4.9% on milk and 6.6% on VAP. Are we seeing some bit of market share impact of that in January, or is there a risk that we see in this current quarter mainly because of this? Yeah, that's it from me.
Yep. Thank you, Abhishek. This is Sridip here. The volume growth. I'm sure that you must have done analysis of all, the operators of dairy, others who have declared results as well, excepting some of those new businesses. The core apple to apple business for everyone has been soft this quarter. I think the industry will have to increase prices. It cannot remain like this. Everybody's cost has gone up. Everyone has reported higher costs in Q3. It's not just Heritage. So we have passed on part of it to the consumer. We believe others also will do so. Usually it is just before March that everybody passes on some bit to the consumer. So we are waiting for, waiting to see how this shapes up. I'll not be able to specifically comment why they have not increased prices or why they have reduced, why they have taken lesser price increase. I can only tell you our reasons.
Fair enough, sir. That's it from me. Thanks and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, kindly restrict your questions to one per participant. We have the next question from the line of Resham Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. I do have a couple of questions. So one is, you know, on the, you know, heavy rainfall or erratic rainfall kind of disrupting growth. Well, that is well understood. But, you know, how does excess rainfall hamper milk production? Because, so does it happen that, you know, artificial insemination or natural mating gets impacted or farmers become lax, you know, they don't give animal feed to their cattle? How does this basically hamper milk production?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been disconnected. Please stay connected while we join them back. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has...
I don't know, you heard Dr. Bridge clarification on animal health and milk production drop?
Sorry, sir, I missed that. If you could repeat your answer, because...
Yeah, sure. Repeating myself. This is Dr. Brijmohan from Heritage NutriVet. We... have observed that across Indian states, we have the crossbred cattle. And as you know, that major milk collection is happening from the cattle, not from the buffaloes. And these crossbred cattle, they... Okay. So, yeah, I'm repeating again, but very briefly now, that Indian states, we have the cattle which are crossbred, and they are found to have decline in their milk yield after a couple of lactations. So two or three lactations, it goes down. And second is there are hormonal cycles, during especially during the rain side. That time there are a couple of complications like mastitis infections, which are widespread, that reduces the milk yield. Hope I can answer your query.
But then structurally, how can this get resolved? And, you know, from a midterm standpoint, how can, you know, the milk shortage be addressed? Because, you know, seeing a 9% degrowth on milk procurement was really huge. And you know, how also in terms of, you know, how do we meet this milk procurement requirement considering the growth plans that we have? So my fear is that, you know, have we already lost out on some sales revenues because we were not able to procure milk, and is that expected to continue?
No, Resha, we had sufficient, see what happened structurally, we had sufficient milk in Q3 to service our needs. You just see the quantity we procured about 17 lakh liters of milk, and if you see our total sale of Q3 is roughly around 17 lakh liters, so we managed. But usually what happens is, In Q3, we get about 19 lakh liters of milk. You see that historically, you see the last Q3. That surplus milk is what converts into commodities. It also brings down the prices, raw milk prices. It increases profitability. That butter, we use it for ghee, etc. That didn't happen. Right now, it doesn't mean that we don't have milk. Now, what we are currently, and to address your question, we have about 1% share of the industry, right? As in, it's a very humongously huge industry, Indian dairy. It's very difficult for one small actor to impact the whole ecosystem. It's impossible, nearly. What we are focusing on is to double down on what we do best, which is actually in the villages, in the farmers, with the farmers that we work with. We are trying to work on farmer productivity. On an average, 3 or 4 years ago, an average farmer that we used to work with, I'm not talking about Indian average farmer, an average farmer that we used to work with used to produce about 7 liters per day. Now it is about 10 liters per day. Now we need to, okay, we might have hit a small air pocket that productivity has come down a little bit in Q3 of this year because of all these events. But we'll have to continuously working on taking this 10 liters to 11 to 12 to 13 kind of thing. That's what we can work on. And but this is a, this thing takes time. It cannot be addressed on a quarter-to-quarter basis. While the overall, so we'll have to expect the overall milk availability to improve, which will also improve our farmers. But our farmer productivity, we work with, let's say, 2 lakh farmers. These farmers are not going to produce 12 liters per day tomorrow. This is not going to happen, right? Because this is a long-term thing and it'll take time. So what we'll focus on here is that structurally, if you see, while some earlier somebody asked this question on like what changed. But EBITDA is down by about 1.8%. Let's look at it like that. We are about at a consolidated level 6.2 and on a standalone basis about 5.4. We are saying that this should actually be about, out of this, we spoke about marketing and other costs about 0.6-0.7%, which can be offset through operating leverage, which is revenues and volumes coming back. Which means on a like-to-like basis, we should look at this margin offset by that much amount getting into the next quarter and beyond, right? And there are other operating leverages which I mentioned, alluded to, once the volumes kick in, because we are still cycling much lower volume growth. We need the volume growth to come back, for which we are working. I think all the metrics are looking good, but we also need a little bit of, weather and other consumption boost, everything, all of those things also to kick in. All in all these factors are what's going to stabilize, normalize our, business in terms of margins potential. But that said, a 1.5 to 2% swing in EBITDA will always be, because this is a cyclical business. This is an agri-commodity.
Sorry to interrupt. My question was not on margins. I think that was well covered. My question was more on, so what I understood from
what you're saying. Sorry to interrupt in between, Resham. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue for the follow-up question.
I think a lot of time got spent, in this, the connection issue. And I think all the other participants were given a fair chance to ask their question.
I'll answer very simply that, we are working with the number of farmers and the villages where we are operating. What we are trying to do is to recruit more farmers in the villages where we are operating. We are trying to get them to add more animals. We're also expecting, the mini flush to play to our benefit. That's the only thing we can work on, right? We are working on the variables that we have influence over.
So in the markets that, where we have taken price hikes, would our peers would have also taken price hikes, or is it only us?
Mr. Sambamurthy, CEO, will be able to answer this better.
Yeah. Some places we have taken it up and some competitors have taken it up, but most of the competitors have not taken up. But certain places, certain markets, they have also taken up. So it's not that everywhere others have taken it up. So some places they have taken it up along with us as well. So that's the thing.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harsh Dubey from LHS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I just had one, couple of questions, but I will restrict it to one. Just wanted to understand that the El Nino effect that is going to come into the weather. So what is the expectation? Clearly the milk supply is really low in the industry, as well as the prices are stiff, and you are saying that this is what something that we can expect in the next 30 to 60 days as well. So when we talk about the value-added product, of how do you think that is going to do in this summer? As well as since we are not able to convert excess of the milk into the commodities now, so how about the prices and the margins? Will VAP will be sold on lower price and the margins?
Yep, this is Sridip here. So I'll not be able to comment on El Nino. But yeah, excess of anything. In summer, if there is excess heat, also that affects milk production. excess rainfall, excess of anything impacts our business, right? You know, business has to operate in a particular corridor of comfort. That said, excess heat is good for our sales side, that is for sure. Products such as curd, buttermilk, ice cream, and all of that should go well. Whether it is El Nino or not, we expect the summer to be normal. If it's a normal summer, I believe the growth that we'll deliver will be strong because we already have good indications of even with soft weather, when the day's weather would open up, our numbers are quite strong. If I can just say, we crossed for curd, for example, 400 tons is a big number that we crossed, and it's the first time we crossed that number in quarter three. You know, all other numbers are also strong. So we are entering the summer in a strong manner.
Tamini here, Executive Director. I just wanted to add one more point that our numbers show a lot of positive progress when we look at scientific numbers such as brand health track, loyalty, awareness, etc. So a lot of effort is going in that direction to mitigate some of these external factors that's impacting our sales. And that's been quite positive. Aside from that, we're also seeing through platforms where things are measurable, such as e-commerce platforms, that the stickiness with the brand for our product in certain categories is improving significantly. Last but not the least, I think it is very important for us to a certain extent to de-seasonalize ourselves as a business. And hence, the functional proposition is becoming exceptionally important for us. I think all along, we've been very focused on fortification as a lever to be able to do it. We're also focusing significantly on probiotics. Our buttermilk, one of our variants of buttermilk is probiotic in nature and is growing pretty well so that people consume it more for the functional benefits and not just the seasonal not just seasonal reasons. Aside from that, protein is a huge, huge proposition for us, and dairy naturally is a great source of protein if R&D and packaging is done the right way and it's delivered to the consumer with a good amount of awareness. I'm also happy to say that in the past quarter, we had launched Nourish Plus Paneer with a 60 grams protein paneer, a high protein paneer, along with Nourish Plus milk as well. And the initial offtake has been very, very positive through new age e-commerce platforms. So I think there are several levers that we are working on very consciously to sort of season-proof ourselves and to make ourselves a formidable brand. So we are less affected by external conditions. And we are also putting in that effort in building awareness among our consumers.
Thank you for that detailed answer. I would just like to have one follow-up in this that when we talk about the milk procurement, that we were not able to increase our milk procurement because of the industry problem that we are facing right now. I just wanted to understand, since bulk commodity is not there right now on our balance sheet, so when we talk about value-added product sales, will there be milk shortages that you expect in the coming quarters? Is there chances of that, or will we lose our sales because of that? Is that a possibility?
No, that is not foreseen. We will find the sources of milk, and also we have enough SMP purchased and stored for meeting the requirements of next season.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dr. Rao for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for your continued interest in Heritage. I'm sure you got the essence of the quarter, and we look forward to meet you all soon for the next earnings call. Thank you again.
Thank you, management members. On behalf of Heritage Foods Limited and Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.